नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ततश्चन्थाददे हरि आदृश्य सर्वभूतानां पूज्यता परमेष्टिना.
Narada Muni continued, O King Yudhisthira, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not visible to an ordinary human being, spoke in this way, instructing Lord Brahma. Then, being worshipped by Brahma, the Lord disappeared from that place.
Tata sambhujasirasa bhavande paramaistanam bhavam prajapatin devam prarado bhagavatkala.
Prahlad Maharaj then worshipped and offered prayers to all the demigods, such as Brahma, Shiva, and the Prajapatis, who are all parts of the Lord.
Tata kavyadibi sardham munibi kamalashana daityanam danavanam cha prarada makarotpatim.
Thereafter, along with Shukracharya and other great saints, Lord Brahma, whose seat is on a lotus flower, made Prahlad the king of all the demons and giants in the universe.
Pratinandya tato deva prayujya paramashisha swadhamani yayurajan brahmadya pratipujita.
O King Yudhisthira, after all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma were properly worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj, they offered Prahlad their utmost benedictions and then returned to their respective abodes.
Evam cha parasado vishno putratvam prapitodita hridisthitena harina vairabhavena tohato.
Thus the two associates of Lord Vishnu, who had become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the sons of Diti, were both killed. By illusion, they had thought that the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, was their enemy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The discourse concerning Lord Narasimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj began when Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni how Shishupal had merged into the body of Krishna. Shishupal and Dantavakra were the same Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Here, Narada Muni is relating how in three different births the associates of Lord Vishnu were killed by Lord Vishnu himself. First, they were the demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Translation. Thus, the two associates of Lord Vishnu who had become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, the sons of Diti, were both killed. By illusion, they had thought that the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, was their enemy.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Venama.
This chapter is entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. And the super excellent devotional qualities of Sri Prahlad Maharaj are herein described, and how, due to his great love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord Himself, in His form of Sri Narahari, found greatest pleasure in glorifying Prahlad. Indeed, Krishna relates to us according to how we approach Him.
Ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham.
Those who think nothing of themselves and are constantly finding the only joy in their life in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who are always anxious to speak about Him in every situation. The Lord relates to such a devotee in such a way that that devotee always feels the presence of the Lord at every moment. And in that reciprocation, the devotee is constantly fearless and constantly experiencing joy regardless of the material conditions of life. But the Lord Himself, He finds greatest pleasure in glorifying such a devotee. Indeed, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we found many instances of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becoming most intoxicated by the ecstasy of chanting the glories of His own associates, who were His devotees who surrendered their lives unto Him. It is described that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would glorify Srila Haridas Thakur, he would be in so much ecstasy that however much he would glorify Haridas Thakur, it was not enough. So it is described that he would speak as if he had five mouths, and ecstatic symptoms would come upon his body. Just as the devotee, Yugayatam Nemeshena Chakshusha Prabhushayatam Sunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahena Me. The Lord prays, or the devotee prays, for when, my Lord, this world, it is vacant in your absence. So the Lord sometimes, He feels vacant in the absence of His devotees. And similarly, just as ecstatic symptoms manifest on the devotees' bodies when they chant the names of the Supreme Godhead, so similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would chant the names of His devotees and the glories of His devotees, ecstatic symptoms would manifest on his body. It is also described that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was introducing Sanatana Goswami to the residents of Jagannath Puri, he was describing his glories with such ecstasy and love that the devotees were simply struck with wonder. And similarly, when he introduced Rupa Goswami to the Vaishnavas of Jagannath Puri, he spoke as if he had five mouths. However much he spoke, it was like drinking nectar. He wanted to drink more and more and more and more and more. His tongue wanted to taste more and more and more and more of the sweetness of the sound vibration of the glorification of his devotees. In fact, in the mood of Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is described, he was once sitting under the tree in Navadvip Dham, and he began to chant the names of the gopis in great ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself, and he was playing the role of a devotee of Krishna. And therefore, he taught us how to find the greatest happiness and peace in life and dive into the ocean of divine sentiments of love by chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. And in the mood of Sri Radharani, the topmost devotee, he was constantly chanting the holy names of Lord Sri Hari. And he was finding the greatest happiness, the greatest ecstasy. In fact, during the Rath Yatra, he would be chanting with such jubilation and happiness before the cart of Lord Jagannath, that sometimes Lord Jagannath would be staring at him in the ecstasy of divine love, struck with wonder. Sometimes the carts could not even move because Lord Jagannath was stunned upon seeing the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotion. But at times the Lord would also be in his mood of Lord Sri Krishna. It was very intimate and confidential when he would reveal such moods. But one day, in his mood of Sri Krishna, he began to chant the names of the gopis. The gopis are the Lord's devotees. And he was in so much ecstasy of love, chanting the names of his devotees. And one of his students, who was a Brahmin, he heard him chanting the names of the gopis. He said, "My dear Nimai Pandit, this is not proper. You should not be chanting gopi gopi. You should be chanting the names of Lord Hari." And he was in such a state of ecstatic love that he could not tolerate this person minimizing the glories of the gopis. So he picked up a stick and chased him away. And that became great trouble for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name at that time was Nimai Pandit. And that Brahmin went into an assembly of thousands and thousands of other young Brahmin students. And they began to criticize that, "What is this Nimai Pandit? He has become so proud that he thinks that he can threaten with a stick a Brahmin." And they began to criticize him like anything. And this was the transcendental excuse that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted to take sannyas. Because, you know, giving up a beautiful, chaste, and loving wife, giving up the care of a most loving and devoted mother, giving up great wealth and a beautiful, comfortable home to live a life of tapasya in the renounced order, it is not an easy decision to make. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood that he would have to leave the goddess of fortune, Vishnupriya. He would have to leave Yashodamai in the form of Sachimata. And he would have to live as a very austere sannyasi, sadhu, for the sake of reaching the hearts of the conditioned souls with his message of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So, on the plea of this excuse, he began to think that I have incarnated in this earth specifically to teach people the glories of the chanting of the holy names and to induce them to dedicate their lives in the loving service of Lord Sri Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. But these people in Kali Yuga are so proud. They are so materialistic that rather than taking the message I have to give them to their heart, they are simply criticizing me. But if I take sannyas, then everyone must respect me, whoever they are. They must offer obeisances. They must hear what I say. And by offering obeisances and hear what I say, even if it is only for the excuse of respect to the renounced order of life, because I am the Supreme Godhead, they will attain great purification. And in this way, the spreading of my mission will progress. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that the only reason why he took sannyas was to somehow or other reach out to the people of the society so that they would have a more respectable image toward him and take what he said more seriously. Now, at that time, there were two schools of sannyas. There was the Vaishnava school and the Mayavad school. Vishnu Swami and other Vaishnava acharyas had been giving sannyas for long, long years before. But at the time, the philosophy of Sripad Shankaracharya was so powerful and all-pervading in India that the integrity and the respectability of the Vaishnava order of sannyasis was very minimal. The Vaishnavas, their
Tridandi sannyasis. The three dandas indicate that one's body, mind, and words. And there is also a fourth danda, which is the jiva danda, are dedicated and surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna in service. So Tridanda indicates that there is a clear distinction between the jiva and Krishna. Because the Tridandi sannyasis, they take sannyas only to increase their service to the Lord, so that they have no other distractions except the service of the Lord in their life. But the Mayavad sannyasis, they are ekadanda, because they accept that everything is one, that everything ultimately is Brahman. That to think of yourself anything other but the Supreme Godhead is due to the illusion of Maya. And when this illusion of Maya is removed, one understands, Aham Brahmasmi, I am the Supreme Lord. So in essence, we can understand the difference between the Vaishnava sannyasis and the Mayavad sannyasis by the two Sanskrit phrases, Aham Brahmasmi and Dasosmi. The goal of taking sannyas in the Ekadanda school is Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am God. And the goal of life for those Tridandi sannyasis is Dasosmi, I am the servant of Krishna, and I am the servant of all parts and parcels of Krishna. I am your servant. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to accept the sannyas order of life in the Ekadanda Mayavad school in the disciplic succession of Sripad Shankaracharya, which was completely averse to the very basis of his philosophy. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very strongly and boldly preached against the Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya. And on all occasions, he would defeat that philosophy to establish that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. And sometimes, due to the influence of the impersonalistic school, people would consider him to be Vishnu. Bhakti Yoga Maharaj ki. Rishikesh Dham ki. Sometimes people would address him as Vishnu. They would offer their pranams and respect him as the Supreme Godhead. And it was so intolerable for him that he would hold his ears and he would cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, protect me from this blasphemy. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, whenever they would see each other, they would address each other by the words, Namo Narayana. Because it is understood when you take sannyas, you become Narayan, the worshipable Lord. So you address each other, I offer my obeisances unto you, Lord Narayan. So when they would come up to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just the standard etiquette amongst sannyasis, Namo Narayan. And then the other looks at the other and says, Namo Narayan. So they would come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Narayan. And he would reply, Krishne Matirastu, may you think of Krishna. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had nothing in common with the Mayavadi sannyasis philosophically. But yet, he had the choice of taking Vaishnava sannyas, Tridandi sannyas, or Ekadanda sannyas. He took the Ekadanda sannyas. Why? Because there was more respectability in that dress, in that order. And he was not concerned so much with any other principle except pushing forward his mission of delivering the conditioned souls. He considered only one thing to be vital, and that is to somehow or other save the conditioned souls who were just being devoured by the flaming mouths of Kali Yuga, and deliver them to the lotus feet of Lord Hari through the chanting of the holy names. Then whatever way was possible, he was willing to accept that way. He was not so much attached to the formality. He was only attached to the formalities insofar as they could purify the conditioned souls and help liberate them from the clutches of Maya. And he would accept whatever was favorable and reject anything unfavorable in preaching the message of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And we find that great acharyas who have truly captured the essence of the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love for the conditioned souls, they have oftentimes transgressed formal traditions of etiquette, if that was what was required to best spread the message of the Lord's holy name. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used this excuse in order to take sannyas. He was chanting the names Gopi, Gopi. And because he was being criticized for this, he decided, I will take that order of life by which people will most respect me, by which they will most see an integrity of spiritual position in me, and then I will be in a better situation to show my mercy to them. But at the same time, from another level, he was chanting the names of gopis because in the mood of Lord Sri Krishna, he was in divine ecstasy remembering his devotees. So just as the Lord finds, just as the devotee finds the highest ecstasy in glorifying the Lord and remembering him, the Lord finds the greatest ecstasy in remembering and glorifying his devotees who have surrendered everything to him. Indeed, the Lord becomes subordinate to the love of his devotees. Prahlad Maharaj was such an exalted devotee. He was so humble and he was so pure in heart that he expected nothing for himself. Whatever tribulations, whatever inconveniences, even whatever persecutions and tortures came upon him, he gladly accepted them in the service of the Lord. Because he was fixed in that consciousness that, my Lord, if by me undergoing this pleases you, then there's nothing I would rather do than undergo this. Not a blade of grass moves without a sanction of the Lord. He is the cause of all causes. A devotee captures the essence of this philosophical principle within his heart. And therefore, he accepts Krishna's mercy, however it comes. And he's grateful. He's grateful and thankful to the Lord that you are giving me the opportunity to remember you, please you, and glorify you by remaining your loving devotee under these trying conditions of life. Such an exalted devotee as Prahlad is celebrated by all classes of Vaishnavas. Indeed, Srila Narada Muni has declared to Yudhisthira Maharaj that wherever there is an assembly of devotees, the glories of Prahlad Maharaj must be discussed. So, being in such an exalted position, one of the 12 Mahajans, we would think that Prahlad would be, perhaps, if he had any sense of attachment to prestige, that he would expect people to worship him and glorify him. But here we find that after Lord Narasingadev had left, Prahlad was approaching the demigods, and he was worshiping their lotus feet with great humility, faith, and love. Now we know that certain demigods, like Lord Brahma, are of the most exalted spiritual status. But most of the other demigods, although they are devotees of the Lord, they are very materialistic. Each of the demigods is a Vaishnava. They're all devotees of Lord Hari. But they are mixed devotees. They have many, many material desires. But they have enough good intelligence and spiritual advancement that they want to dovetail their material desires in God's service. So we find great demigods like Indra. They are living in the most opulent conditions of life, with the most beautiful women, beautiful luxuries. He's attached to these things. He's attached to beautiful women. He's attached to the luxuries of life. How do we know he's attached? Because whenever the demons, or even the great sages like Vishwamitra, Nara Narayan Rishis, whenever they become very powerful, he becomes very afraid that they will take his position. Isn't this the condition in everyone's heart in this material world? As soon as we see someone who is doing very well, whatever we have, we're afraid, my God, if he might become as good as me, and then I will lose the distinction and the opulence that my position is providing. So we want to somehow or other diminish that person's character by this way or that way, either by spreading rumors about him or gossiping about him or some other underhanded method. So Lord Indra, he would usually send beautiful heavenly damsels to tempt the great sages who were rising to powerful positions. And he was quite sure that they would all fall prey to Maya's influence in this form. So we can understand by these many, many pastimes of Lord Indra that the demigods, although they are great devotees of the Lord, they really want to perform their service for Krishna. They want all the benefits as well. They want to live luxurious lives. They want to be worshipped and adored, and they want a very high position, but they'll take that high position and use it in Krishna's service. So they're devotees, but they're very attached. Therefore, it is described that worshiping a pure devotee can bring about the goal of life. But by worshiping the various demigods, at the most we can get material benedictions from them, because they are generally not proprietors of pure devotional service. So here is Prahlad Maharaj, the greatest of all exalted devotees. Who is worshipped by God himself. And he's worshipping the demigods. Not worshipping them for any material benediction, but offering them all respects. Because he sees that they're Vaishnavas, even though they have so many material desires, Prahlad Maharaj did not think himself better than them. He considered himself lower than them. He considered himself their humble servant. So this is the exalted quality of Prahlad. Although he had the most esteemed position to be glorified by God himself for all of eternity in the pages of the scriptures, he did not consider himself anything but the humble servant of the servant of the servant of even the materialistic devotees of the Lord. Huh? He considered himself in a lower position than even the materialistic devotees of the Lord. And he accepted a lower position. It does not say that the demigods were worshiping Prahlad. They were in their hearts, but Prahlad was externally worshiping them. And in his heart, he was considering themselves, them, more exalted than him. Therefore, Narada Muni is, through these narrations, showing us how Prahlad was the best among exalted devotees. And by hearing about the most glorious qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, and by aspiring to follow in his footsteps, to be like him, we cannot imitate Prahlad, but we should aspire in our life to become like Prahlad by following in his footsteps. And any qualities we find in our own mind, in our own heart, in our own lives that are different than that of Prahlad, we should understand that that is our impurities. And we should try to purge from our heart, erase from our heart, any qualities that we do not find in the glorious character of Prahlad. And through this process of hearing of such great exalted Vaishnavas, our mind will never be diverted from the ultimate goal of life. We will remain on the path, continually marching forward to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Hari through the nine processes of devotional service, which, most important of all, are hearing the glories of the Lord and his devotees and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? It is like asking, are all the devotees in our temple on the same level? In one sense, yes. In a sense that whatever particular consciousness we are in, we are dedicating our activities in the service of God. And through that process, we are trying to become purified. So the demigods are all on the same level in the sense that they all accept Vishnu as God, and they all accept that I am his servant. And they are all carrying out the specific duties very faithfully and very loyally that he has given them. But as far as their own internal consciousness, each demigod is in his own level of consciousness. Each particular devata has his own particular level of love, devotion, and is acting in that capacity. Some of the demigods are of a divine nature, such as Lord Shankar. He is not an ordinary demigod. He is actually an incarnation of Vishnu. He is actually Vishnu himself. But in the capacity of Lord Shiva, he is influenced by the mode of tamaguna, ignorance, and therefore he is not acting in the same capacity as Vishnu. Therefore he is classified as a demigod, because for all functional, practical purposes, he's acting as a demigod, although he's actually Vishnu, an expansion of Vishnu himself. And similarly, the Shakti of Shiva, Durga, Parvati, they are not of the category of Jivatma. Just as Shiva, although he is not Vishnu Tattva because he is not acting on the capacity of a Vishnu Tattva, he is Shiva Tattva in his unique position. So similarly, his divine energy is also like Lakshmi, but acting in a different capacity. So they are of a divine nature. They are not living entities. They are simply performing a special lila by coming to this material world and orchestrating the various material departments that they are given the care of by Lord Sri Krishna. But the other demigods, most of them, they are jivatmas. They are actually of the same quality as you and me, except by their immense pious karma, they have attained such an exalted position in the universal management. It is described that Lord Brahma is generally a jivatma, the most powerful, the most devoted devotee in the universe, oftentimes becomes Lord Brahma. And generally, Lord Brahma is a pure devotee of the Lord. But sometimes, if there is not a pure devotee of the Lord available to take that position, he is not a pure devotee. He is a mixed devotee, like the other demigods. But it is described, if there is no one of such an exalted karma to take the seat of Lord Brahma, oftentimes Lord Vishnu himself accepts the position of Lord Brahma. So sometimes Brahma is also Vishnu Tattva in essence. So amongst the demigods, there are various categories. So we cannot say that they are all on the same level. And of those demigods who are jivatmas, because what is there, 33 million demigods? There's many demigods. According to their particular karma and according to their realization, they are all on their own unique personal level of spiritual development. Is there any other questions? Yes. The demigods are meant to perform their sadhana. It is the duty of the demigods also to worship Vishnu, to perform their sadhana, to do their puja, to do their worship. It is also their duty to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness. But you see, if by the misuse of their independence they do not, they will generally maintain their position until their particular period of responsibilities is complete. But then, whatever karma they have incurred in that time, at the time when they have to leave their post as that demigod, then they have to accept the consequences. If they worship the Lord in great devotion and become purified, then they will go back to Godhead. But it's difficult because there's so many distractions and so much pleasure. To want to renounce the heavenly planets is not an easy thing. With the little bit of pleasure we have in this material world, it's so difficult to renounce. Can you imagine renouncing the heavenly planets? It's very difficult. That is why Maharaj Kadvanga, he was in the heavenly planets. When he was given one moment to live, he immediately left the heavenly planets for the earth. Because he thought, how am I going to be able to renounce everything in a place like this? So satisfying. So he came to a place which was full of miseries. So, if a demigod commits many sinful activities, he could lose his position and be cast down to the lower species as well. We see in the Shastra that sometimes when demigods act sinfully or when they act out of place, sometimes great devotees curse them and they have to take abominable species of life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about Vidyadhara. He was a very great exalted demigod. But because he was offensive, and he wasn't showing proper respect to a sage, he was cursed to be a snake. He left his demigod body and became a snake on earth. Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, for thousands and thousands of years, they had to take the bodies of trees. It's a very low species of life. The eight Vasus, they had to take birth as human beings. So you see, the demigods, they are responsible for what they do. They have to pay the consequences of their karma. But if they are sincere and they do not lose perspective, then they are on the path back to Godhood. But you see, generally for the demigods, because they're accepting such an important responsibility on behalf of Krishna, they're given special mercy. Just like Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. They were demigods, sons of Kuvera. They were very much, they were taking intoxications. They were having affairs with women. They were very degraded. So they deserved to take the bodies of trees by their karma. Standing naked in front of everybody is the duty of a tree. But because of their exalted position as demigods, they got to take birth as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, where they would ultimately be delivered by Lord Sri Krishna. Although Vidyadhara, due to his offense to a great sage, became a serpent, Krishna himself delivered him and gave him love of God. So they may have to pay their karma when they perform such inappropriate activities, but because they're taking such an important responsibility, the Lord gives them special protection even in those conditions. He gives them purification, but he personally often comes to deliver them. But if a demigod is extremely degraded, then he can fall from his heavenly position and become an abominable creature and have to again evolve through the 8,400,000 species of life. You may have been a demigod. It's very likely you were. But now look at you. Now look at me. Look at all of us. But factually, by the mercy of our spiritual master, we are in a more fortunate position than any of the demigods. But this Krishna consciousness movement of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the best facility for all living beings to go directly back to Godhead in this life. And the demigods know that that's the goal of life. That is why Prabhupada said many demigods take birth in this movement. Just like when you work for a company and you want to be transferred to a better place, you put in your requisition, right? You put in your application that I want to be transferred, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wanted to be transferred to Krishna Nagar so he could be near Mayapur. So for many years he had to wait for them to accept his proposal and send him. Or like Devamrita, he was transferred from Bombay to Calcutta and he applied for a transfer back to Bombay. And he had to wait. So the demigods, they have this responsible post, this position. They have to keep their responsibilities, but many of the demigods, they know the goal of life is to go back to Godhead, and they know in their position it's very, very difficult, and they know the best position to go back to Godhead is to be in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement here on earth. So therefore, they put in their applications for a transfer to Chaupati, Bombay, so they can worship Radha Gopinath with no other distractions. So many of our children are demigods who have come to take advantage of this great movement.